Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, and we know, as the prophet said, when someone has deceased, gone on, and you speak kindly and sweetly of them, their sweet presence into the room, as though they were with us. He didn't stress that too much, but it seems as though there was a reality there that we're missing, a part of a dimension. But we do know this, Lord, when we talk about you, you being here, you are here, and that is absolutely certain and sure. You have not left us, for you have not yet raised the dead. And even when you raise the dead, you will still be here to take us with you to the great marriage supper when you yourself become incarnate too, as we crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we know that to be the truth, Lord. And as Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, and by the grace of God, it won't stand in her way. We know these things are true, Lord, positively, absolutely certified, identified. We know it, reality. And that reality, Lord, we have. We are grateful for it. And if we can see this reality, Lord, we know it's going to go from reality to reality until one day we land in that place, Lord, with you, where there is that absolute perfection from that point on. We're going to praise you enough for your goodness, and may we learn much tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're... Before we go into questions and some answers here, of course, I don't guarantee I'm 100% right. I just do my best from what you ask and going to message and taking that back to the Word. But there's something that we want to look at very, very closely here. And that is that when it comes to worship, you have to realize where worship started. Now, worship starts up here. First of all, you start with God and there isn't any worship. There's no worship there whatsoever. But there is a self-identification, because God knows who He is, and God knows what He is. God knows exactly what He can do and what He cannot do. Now, I realize when people talk about God and sovereignty, they say God can do anything. Now, that is not true. That is absolutely not true. Every single thing has to manifest according to what its essentiality and intrinsicality is, what it actually positively is. And different in, you can say, from anything else, so that when you identify this, you have identified whatever it is to the nth degree. There isn't any less and there isn't any more. Now, I know that some people may think that God is becoming more and more. Well, that I don't buy that. I don't buy that for one minute. I would buy this, though. That God can manifest and God can do every single thing within his Godhoodedness, the lying within Him that we don't even have a clue to, that we don't even have a smattering of an understanding what lies there. I have not seen nor heard, neither in the heart of man nor the mind of man, nor anything else. It's like comparing one drop of water with all the oceans in the world. Now the earth is 25,000 miles in circumference, and only 1/6 of the earth is a landmass. So by the time you begin getting a landmass, and you got ocean depth someplace, I suppose as much as 5 miles down, and you figure the vastness of the trillions of tons, I suppose, of water, then you take one drop in comparison, that would be you and me, just from this word of God, and the illumination we have thus far by the Holy Spirit, I would consider that a drop to what is there. So God is bound by Himself. And whatever lay in God, and whatever God desired by that which lay within Him, He has every right to bring forth. And that's exactly why I have always said, when you come to the Bible, you must keep the Word within the framework of the Word or forget it. And I can prove that by the fact that God will not accept anything outside of the true revelation of His Word. Anything else He will reject. So if He rejects anything down here apart from His Word, then everything up here must be according to His Word. It's got to start somewhere. It's got to start right up here. So now, with God, there's absolutely nothing. Nothing but God. Well, now, what kind of space does He fill? That has nothing to do with it. What kind of knowledge does He have? Well, that has a little bit to do with it. But I want to know, because it's infinite. And how can my one drop of water compare to the billions of tons in the ocean? So I just give up. What about, that's wisdom and knowledge. What about his power? Well, that's the same thing again. What I would have would be, it's wonderful and marvelous when you consider God giving us these things. But it's just the teeniest amount, so to speak. So here's God all by himself. Now, here he is, and the first thing, there comes forth a light. And we'll put that forth in blue, and we'll use a blue crayon on it, a blue, but at the same time, what do you say we do this? The red signifies God. Really, you usually use blue, but we're gonna do it this way. So we've got this signification up here, and now this light comes out. Now, it's not a blue light, really. It's an amber light, but I don't have amber. And I don't have enough colors here to... I don't have a brown. If I had a brown, I could do an amber. Well, no, I got to just... I just got to do this, and you know what I mean? You got to know what I'm talking about. It should be an amber light, but it's not amber. So, all right, now, here we come out here, and this light forms. We'll call it a royal purple. That's maybe what we should do. Hey, that's a good idea right there. And that's not too great, but you got to believe it is. See, now, faith is believing. First thing will turn out green. That's, we don't want that. Now, here is where, as Brother Branham said, sonship begins, and God in sonship begins. The beginning of the creation of God. Where God creates himself in human flesh, it starts right up here. See? That's where it is. Now, this one here is a Logos. It's a Logos, and it's a beautiful expression, Logos, because you cannot really appreciate the word Logos apart from what we're looking at. Because when you talk about Logos, as we use, Brother Branham used it, not superficially, but he used it like most students use it, most people think of it, that we have of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, which was Logos. And the Word is an expression of the thought. So if the Word expresses the thought, you're looking at something which is an expression. See? As an expression. And it must contain whatever it should express. Well, this should give you the idea right away why God put the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image whatsoever, because you don't have a clue. But the Bible said Christ is the image of God. So this one here was going to be the expression. He's the Logos that came out of God. Now remember in John 1:1, God's his own Logos. Because he indwelt the flesh and manifested through it. And Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And Brother Branham said, you're looking at me, aren't you? It's not William Branham that says those things that come to pass so perfectly or those mighty deeds that are done. It's God. So you understand what I'm talking about? That's Logos. Logos. Real Logos. See, it's got to contain a part of the intrinsicality. So, all right. He calls that a Logos, which is certainly is very, very true. And this one here is going to be the image of God as he comes on down here. Now, this son, as Brother Branham said, and here is what Brother Branham said, that this prophet at the end time not only reveals, and he goes back to the serpent in the garden, to the prophet in the former reign, but Brother Branham says on top of that, and here's what people simply don't want to understand, they think Brother Branham, Kentucky hillbilly, a nut, who thinks he's so smart because he had a big ministry, and now he's blowing his mouth off. But this same prophet said, he would reveal the things which were not known from before the foundation of the world. Show me one place in Scripture where anybody could have placed what I'm talking about now. This light came out. A light formed when there was nothing to form from. Now see, there's where they got all messed up on Godhead. This is the Son of God. Show me one disciple that was messed up in his thinking. Tonight I just went through the Scripture for the fun of it. Well, you know, I have a lot of fun. For the joy of it. The inspiration. And there wasn't one disciple who ever called him God. No. There wasn't. They called him the Son of God. And when Peter preached after Pentecost, categorically, he said, Jesus, a man of Nazareth, anointed by God, the Holy Ghost, went around doing good, healing the sick, casting out devils, and raising the dead, and so on. Never once, in fact, there is only one person who ever identified Jesus with God really. That was John, not Peter. When Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, well, some say Elijah, some Elisha, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets, so on and so forth. But he said, who do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He never said you were Christ, the living God, or a living God. He said you are Messiah. Now remember, the word Christ is Messiah. Never, ever forget it. In fact, it should be through the whole New Testament. It should not be the word Christ at all. It should be Messiah. Not that Christ isn't legal. It's the Greek for Messiah. One's Christos, one Messiah. So, all right. You will notice there that none of them ever called him God. The closest it came is when Philip said, show us the Father. And he said, that'll be really good. Jesus had said, no man could see the Father. No man has seen the Father. No man could see the Father and live. No man can see God. He said, show us the Father. He said, have I been so long with you, Philip, that you have not known me, you haven't seen the Father? He said, who do you think doing these works here? Now, that's the place you will find him identifying himself with the Father, but only on the grounds that the Father indwelt him. He didn't say the Son was indwelling him. It wasn't God the Son indwelling this piece of flesh. It was God the Father indwelling this piece of flesh. Amen. I'd like to see, here's the point. If you read your Bible, you will not mess up. But you listen to a bunch of idiots. Oh God, preachers and teachers and now newsmen, and the lawyer comes around to fix it. I'm with Shakespeare. Let's kill all the lawyers, then we'll start. Take that with a grain of salt. All right. Right up here, you see that sun. Now, the Bible gives us a mystery in Paul the Apostle. John says, in the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him, and there wasn't anything made that was not made by him. Now, that's exactly true. The same John that said that had also written down, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Don't you recognize the Father in me is doing the works and speaking these words? Don't you also recognize the fact that Paul himself said, God created all things by Christ Jesus? And don't you recognize also the fact that God was in Christ redeeming the world? So here we see here, and the Jehovah Witnesses came the closest. According to Corinthians, I beg your pardon, Revelation 3, 14, the beginning of the creation of God, they said that God created Jesus, and he became the agent of creation. They missed it. God did not create Jesus. God birthed him. Now, at the same time, when he birthed him, God gave birth to himself. On what grounds? As God. Because God is an object of worship. And God is sovereign. Fathers are not sovereign. Only God is sovereign. Fathers are authoritative. But God is above authority because he is the authority. And God in his word is one. So now, God, by Christ Jesus, creates everything. Everything in here. Now it's a time of creation. He created cherubim. He created seraphim. He created, well, the cherubim, I think, are pretty well the same thing, although there might be somebody want to split a hair over that. I don't. Cherubim, to me, are the very same thing. So he created the seraphim and the cherubim. He created the archangels. He created the angels. And there was then in heaven, around here, a vast number. And one of the great creations up there that led in the worship was this person called Satan. Now, Brother Branham and other people categorically state, but Brother Branham is the one that states it, also Seventh-day Adventism, believes the same thing, that Jesus took on the personage of Michael, the archangel. So, all right, we have in here then the picture of this one here and this one here who are leading in the worship. And we're going to find that the plausibility of that, and I say plausibility, but it's not only plausible, it's actually the fact because Brother Branham said so. And Brother Branham was not one to quote other people as authorities unless he was led by God to quote those people, knowing that they were a part of the former and present system of religion and perhaps fundamental, and even the extent of being born again, but without having a true and a perfect knowledge, but they had a good knowledge to the point where they came. I hope you're following me there, because a lot of people were full of the Holy Ghost before Brother Branham came on the scene. Now, let's look at the picture. At the same time, hold everything in mind, because I'm trying to get a lot of thoughts in here. Brother Branham said that this age needs to return to Pentecost. If this age needs to return to Pentecost, then you better believe something. The watcher will bring you back here. Don't worry. Let's go to the fact. Here's Pentecost. Here's a pillar of fire coming down. This is Elohim. God dividing himself. Not all of himself, dividing himself here. At Pentecost, right? Now then, what happened after Pentecost? They went everywhere preaching Christ crucified, Messiah, risen from the dead, demonstrating in mighty signs and wonders as it was on the day of Pentecost, and you know the record of the book of Acts. But at the time of Pentecost and the record of the book of Acts, this one here appears to a man called Saul. He knocks Saul down, takes him over here to Arabia, gives him the word. Huh? Did that word come at Pentecost up here? No. They never had the word. It was Paul that had the word. So let's get back to Pentecost. That's Pentecost. Not speaking in tongues and a bunch of gifts, which are fine. Nothing against it. Nothing against it. But this is what happened. Now, just hold that in mind and put it to one side. We're back here now in the beginning. All of this up here is created. The earth down here, all of these good things were in order. But we don't have any men or any man anywhere doing anything. We just have God, now God. And remember, all the time, is blessed be the God and Father. Because remember, fathers are only authoritative in a very limited manner. There's no way. There's always a law above a father. Every country, there's a law above the father. And above the country, there is another law, which is God. And you'll find a lot of things in there that can be legal but not lawful, in the sense that there's a precedent up here somewhere that makes people to think, well, this is okay, but it ain't okay. It's a good thing we have the blood brothers, sister. You better believe that. Or we'd all stand here condemned before Almighty God. So, okay, we got up here. Then the system in heaven is a system of worship. That's what we have now. This makes it the way it is. And there's no such thing as man down here yet. But man will be down there shortly, because he's going to be down here on the earth. And he will be there. Okay. Now we go to Genesis, to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, thou that is weak in the nation? Now he's a son there, but he's a son by creation. He's only the son of the morning. In the morning, the evening, the morning were the first day. You got a time, you got something in here that has to do with time. And evidently, there was a light, and there was sun, and there were these other things there before Satan was created. Otherwise, why would you have a figure of speech when there wasn't any figure? Right? You can't have figure of speech unless there's a figure. You can't say a woman is sin as a broomstick unless there's a broomstick. A man sours a lemon unless there's a lemon. So how could Satan be a son of the morning without there be a morning? Without you being some kind of light. So this is ephemeral. And that's, in other words, this one is not eternal. How they're cut down to the ground was to weaken the nations. Didn't say it killed them, it said weakened them. What weakens? Sin. For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm going to get above the very elect of God. I'm going to be above everything. In other words, I am going to institute myself not only as God, but I'm going to institute myself as Father. Well, come on. You're going to be above the stars, the children of God. You're going to have a bunch of children somewhere. I'm going to take over, he said, the family of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation. He's not going to be content to sit in the congregation and worship God, because that's what he's doing. He's going to take over and be his God. I'll ascend above the heights of the cloud. I'll be like the Most High. Now, God being a Savior, Satan will come along and he'll institute some form of forgiveness. God being a healer, the devil will come along and he'll institute some kind of healing, which will be by drugs and everything else, because drugs take over at the end time, and drugs are drugs. That's your pharmaceutical. Yet thou be brought down to hell. They shall look, see thee, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and to shake the kingdoms? Now you can find right here that this creation of God has to at some time or other take the form of a human being. God says right here. He's looking, this will be an incarnation, of course, well, it was with Judas, that made the world's witness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners. In other words, at the very end time, when the whole thing's on the skids, everybody's a prisoner, and everybody's looking to this man to make them all free. Even Castro shook hands with him. Put on a blue suit. Put away his fatigues. Confessed the next day he'd made mistakes. There should be more freedom. Hail the Pope. Oh, he's riding high. Why, he's God to the people. Hallelujah. He's the vicar of Christ, so says he. And Malachi Martin says he got the fisherman's ring. What the world is a fisherman's ring? And the shepherd's crook. Well, I admit there's crookedness there. You know, they don't, those birds don't make one bit of difference to me. If I boil in oil, I'll boil in oil. 28 of Isaiah. Now he says, here now is a parable. Here is now a figure of speech also. Son of man, this is 28th chapter of Ezekiel. Son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus. Now this is the prince, not the king of Tyrus now. Thus saith the Lord, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, that's peoples. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that they can hide from thee. Now, Daniel is a very wise person. He dealt in dreams and visions and things. He could even tell things that a person dreamed. Certainly had great insight. With thy wisdom, with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and thou hast gotten gold and silver in thy treasures. By thy great wisdom, by thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches. Thine heart lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, terrible nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, they shall defile their brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Now, we're looking at end time history here, whether you know it or not. Wilt thou say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God. in the hand of him that slayeth it. Now, you see, Jesus is coming back with his bride at the end time, and they're actually people. And they're going to be meeting people. And this is where Satan is taken. And thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, I have spoken, saith the Lord. This is also history and history to come. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus. And said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now here's the devil himself, up here's the Antichrist. Here's the king, here's the son of the king. Number one, the son of the king, now the king himself. And so who is the father of this man? Satan is. And how is he the father? By a beast. And remember, at the end time, it is found by science that the human race is 99.99 of one breed. 99.9. And also, the Bible said, they're nothing but brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. So then what is this man? He is in the form of a beast, and he's called a beast in the book of Revelation. And all those around him are beasts. Now watch, thou hast been and eaten the garden of God. Now, how in the world was he there except of the serpent? He took the most intelligent creature, the subtle one, the sly one, outside of man. Very beautiful, very marvelous, and used him. He was in Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering, the stardust, the topaz, the diamond. And remember, this is the ephod, showing that he is the high priest that approached Eve. Now, what is a high priest? He leads in the worship of God. So Satan, right up here, was leading in the worship of God with Jesus. He was a cherub that covered. He had the distinct privilege and the stewardship of keeping the ranks in order and perfect before God, so that nothing would be defiled. And thou wast perfect in all thy ways, until iniquity was found in you, which means the perversion of the word. And a perversion of the word perverts the person. Now notice, he's the high priest leading the worship of God in the Garden of Eden to Eve. Now, if you don't think that, well, let's read a little further. He's the high priest. And notice, he was created to do it. Now, that's what I want you to notice. He was created to do it. Now, if this pen were made to put blue marks on the board and it turned up green, then it was not created to put blue marks on the board, right? Amen. Now get what I'm talking about. You say, oh, brother, Bill, there could have been a mistake. Oh, shut up. I'm not talking and teaching a bunch of idiots. You think I'm blowing my stack? I can really blow it. I can walk out and say goodbye and stay home and just have a nice time looking out the window and talk to the birds. Because if I can't talk to people, what is going on? He was created for the purpose to lead in worship. Right? That's exactly right. I made you that way. That's the way you are. He had a deep within him, but it went haywire. And with everybody there is a deep. That's what I said a while ago. Brother Brown said, how you ought to love each other. You love this word. That's why some folk hate my guts and hate yours. They don't love this word. If they did, they'd know everybody's got fish hooks on his elbows. This is brotherly kindness. This is the age where you and I are not going to be perfect by love, except him who is love. But I'll tell you one thing, when somebody gets in trouble, and we may have our problems, we will come, Brother Branham said, and we will help, and we'll show we are brothers. But forget this kissy-kissy, lovey-lovey stuff, and cover up lies and sin. Now, if you want that pie, see, I don't have to preach here. I can leave here tomorrow. Preach any place I want. See, how do you know? Brother Branham said so. He said, Lee, you're just like me. He said, preach anywhere you want. And I can do it too. See, now he was created for this purpose.
He said, I made you this way. And you came right down in the garden. And you led in worship. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Now I've looked up that word anointed. I went to the Greek. Do you know that word anointed is hardly in the Bible? In the Greek? And you will find this anointing actually means positioned and smeared by God with abilities to perform. Separated. Paul uses the word anointed concerning himself. John uses the word anointing concerning those that are bribed. They can't be fooled. Because you've been smeared and positioned. Oh, hallelujah. Why aren't you screaming and running? You know, this is God knows my heart. I feel like running just right now, lickety-split around the aisles. Oh, Brother Bailey, you know, he's got no spirit. He's ain't got no life. I haven't. Come on, stand beside me. You then yell with your hogwash. I will scream with the truth. I'm not dead. Don't think for one minute I'm dead. That's Jessica. She sees the eyes get on fire and the fire begin to split at times. Hear me sometimes I'm on the phone. Oh, you just riled up. Oh, well, praise God, I'm riled up. I've got nothing to apologize for. This is the word of the living God. Why, he said right here, you were created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Anointed. See? Position. Smeared by God. The oil upon you. I have set thee so. He was created and he was set. Tell me when he was uncreated and why unset. Well, Brother Bear, we don't have a thing to do with the devil. We're so wonderful. Oh, are you really now? So now you're bigger than the Bible. Do you know an archangel wouldn't even bring a railing accusation against the devil? He got right out of his way and said, the Lord rebuke thee. There's only one way to beat that fellow, and that's stand behind the word like Jesus did and forget everything else, because he was put in that position. Thou art perfect in thy ways in the day was created iniquities found thee, till you change the word. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Remember my sermon when I took you to the Garden of Eden and took you outside the garden with the four rivers where civilization goes? And what did I tell you we found there? Gold. Gold. And we found synthetics. We found commerce. We found industry. And the minute they left the garden, they had to take up industry. They had to take up wealth and gold for Satan's kingdom. And here it is all outlined. Right from the Garden of Eden. Now, come on, I read it. Thou wast in Eden. You were a high priest to Eve. She took the bait. She raised the kids. She's the mother of all living. Didn't say Adam was. Now 99.999% all serpent seed and incest. You're going to tell me that manifest in the flesh today, that there's 99.999 of one father, and they're going to make any kind of a bride? Those are beasts. They're beasts, come on. Now, thou hast sinned, therefore I cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Has he been destroyed? Not by a long shot. Was he kicked out? He certainly was. No problem. Let's keep watching. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Brother Branham spoke often of that. He complimented the Pentecostals. They're crying. And their nose dripping at the same time. But they've smart people can't stand it. They got to have something beautiful, something delicious, something kind of lovely, you know. Now, he said, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. Now watch. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. By reason of. He destroyed what he had gotten from God in the beginning, the wisdom of God, and he turned it into reasoning. Didn't he get Eve reasoning? He certainly did. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. Oh, he's got sanctuaries. Let us go into the sanctuary. We're merely in the foyer. Come in the sanctuary where we can worship God around the altar. And I'll put a little round thing on your lips and I'll drink the wine myself. And as if okay, like your Lutherans, and you want a nude woman dancing, that's okay too. Or you like the whirlwind bunch to say, I can do anything I want in the flesh, because the flesh profits nothing, it's the spirit that counts. And next day, after having my adulteries with another man's wife, I can talk in tongues and practice gifts and things. It's all fine. Hallelujah. I can be a swaggered. No problem. Cry. Forgive me. Cry. Listen, anybody can turn the waterworks on for $1 million. If you think I can't cry for $1 million, tempt me. I won't betray the Lord. I'll just cry. Bring on the onions. I'm just kidding, of course. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thine iniquities. The multitude of perverting the word. Yeah. By the iniquity of thy traffic. buying souls and selling souls. Paying for novenas, masses, everything else. The Protestants are just the same. Therefore I bring thee forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. It brings the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that behold thee. You know the best of Satan's wisdom but now in the church? The atomic bomb. It's everywhere now. You can even get little bombs that'll take a whole city out, carrying a suitcase. You talk about terrorism? Now, where is terrorism coming from? It's coming from religion. Now, here's why I'm talking this way and spending all this time. It's because I want you to realize that Satan is still leading in the worship of God in his sanctuaries. He's pointing always to God, be it Ella, be it this, be it that, it doesn't bother him. He's pointing to a Trinity. He's pointing to God that's his own Father and his own Son. The oneness and the threeness and the who knows what. He's pointing to it, using the name of Jesus. He doesn't bother him one little bit, because it's all perversion, and he's got nothing but this word to pervert. Because that's all there is in this world, is the word of God. And it's all gone perverted. So Satan is leading in worship right today. Because he was created to lead in worship. And he was kicked out of heaven when he got the angels to follow him. And when he gets mankind at the end time to follow him, as they've been doing for 6,000 solid years at the end time, after his final incarnation, he will be brought down low and kept there for 1,000 years, then loosed. And his power is so strong, and his hatred so great, that he will rally every single resurrected beast against God and all the unholy angels and attempt to take the holy encampment. And fire will come down and destroy them. So my position tonight is this. You are going to hear on every side, oh, we believe in God. We believe this. We got the Bible. We have this and we have that. Oh, do you now? How many sanctuaries in this land, without knowing it, dedicated to God knowingly, but the unknown God, because they don't know him, because he's neither a Trinity nor a oneness as the oneness people preach him to be, because he is not his own Father. He said, Brother Branham, what's the difference between Jesus Christ and God? He said, no difference except one had a beginning. And that's exactly true. Because tell me, except the beginning here, what was there a difference? No difference at all. Because he was the substance of God, the very life of God. And that's where Israel got mad, because he declared himself to be a son as no one else was a son. See? So, get the picture. Having come on down here, this whole earth is now defiled, using the Bible. In vain do you worship me, having for traditions the doctrines of men. The word tradition means teaching. Trado, that which is taken across and given. See, in vain do you have it. You haven't got it, he said. You're worshiping me, but it's all in vain. It's all in vain. Now listen to me, it's all in vain. And you know what everybody's looking for now? They're looking for the rapture. And Brother Branham said, and we didn't even know we were, even as we didn't know Elijah was going to come, didn't know it was William Branham, he said the bride is waiting for the revelation of the rapture, and we thought we had the revelation. And we didn't. And we were waiting for it. And you know why we were waiting for it? Because it wasn't yet given. Now we were longing for a rapture. Hallelujah, get me out of here, Lord. We didn't have the revelation. We didn't know about the appearing. Oh, they said the appearing and the coming are two different things, and they're right. And they said the appearing is the rapture is a big fat lie. Anybody can read John ought to understood that. Let's go back to John. First chapter.
Okay, third chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath loved us, hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's the children of God, the born ones. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and never yet come into a being, or hath appeared what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
You've got to see him to get your change. But everybody knows that you've got to be changed to get up in the air to see him. Now, how are you going to get up in the air to see him without your change, and you've got to be changed by seeing him? Are you kind of get what I'm talking about? It says right here, you've got to see him to get your change. And he's going to appear, and you're going to see him. Now, just a minute. Behold, what manner the Father, who is God,
hath bestowed upon us that we should be called his sons, his children. Therefore, the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know God.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not appear we shall be, but we know that when God shall appear, we'll be like him, because we'll see God as he is. When you see God descend from the heavens and stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, then you saw God.
Oh, blaspheming. Oh, Brother Bayless, I blaspheme. I never heard such blaspheme in my life. You just made Brother Branham God. I want you to shut up. You mind your business, I'll mind mine. You have your faith, I'll have mine.
Said, Brother Branham, what does it mean? Jesus said, he has seen me and seen the Father. You're looking at me, aren't you? Said, I didn't know he said that. Preaching in Don Roller's church, I heard myself say, you weren't looking at the man, you're looking at God. I was so stunned, I kept right on talking, knowing I had to cover up in a hurry. They said, I did. And I said, what was it? It was God in the man, 100% right. He appeared. He didn't only appear in mighty signs and wonders when he went to Egypt with Moses, but he himself appeared in the pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai. So today, we have his picture. That's not the Lamb, that's the Father of the Lamb.
So they couldn't understand that one. So Brother Branham said the bride was waiting for the revelation of the rapture, and they said, "Hallelujah, we got her." Because he's going to appear, that's the rapture. But you see, you got to see God before you get changed. You got to see him as he is. Every generation in his word, seven church ages. And at the end time, he comes down from heaven with a prophet on earth. And the seventh seal was Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And when Brother Branham flipped all the pages open, took all the seals off by the power of God, he said, "The seals are off, you know, number 7, but it's not open to the public. And they're still going around saying the seventh seal isn't open." They thought Brother Branham's going to come by with a club and hit him on the head. They weren't listening. They got so their gears so jammed in their skulls because their brains weren't baptized with the Holy Ghost. They didn't hear him say Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is the seventh seal. That's when Elohim came down and the prophet William Branham was on earth. Yeah, when you see God descend from the heavens, stand before groups of men. Oh, they hated that. They couldn't take it. And the Pope will stand up and say, the vicar. Well, the vicar makes me snicker. Boy, if that's God, I don't want it. I know you should be nice to these dignitaries. I never could reconcile myself to Paul apologizing for calling down the high priest. I wish I had his spirit, you know, be nice and sweet and kind. But you know something? If I were just that nice and sweet and kind, like a lot of people are, they wouldn't even have any idea of what was actually said, though I don't claim I'm the only one doing it. Now listen, it tells you right here that we're going to see him as he is. We saw him as he is, completely revealed. And you know as well as I do, when the Bible says the only begotten hath declared him, that word is made to bring him forth perfectly, a description by words. Because there's no such thing as anybody ever knowing anything from God, no matter what it is, until God comes behind and explains it. And we saw exactly Revelation 10, 1 to 7, the seven seals. We saw it open and we saw it as it is. So there's my picture tonight. And I've taken all that time because it's been on my heart all week and more than 1 week. It's been on my heart for weeks now to bring this to a place where I want you to know that Satan is leading in the worship of God. He's leading in every single church in his sanctuaries. And the whole word, every word is full of iniquity. The whole thing is a complete mess. The whole thing is completely wrong. See? Now, let's look at the word. Satan is leading in the worship of God. And things are going on. He's got his sanctuaries that have been dedicated to God. Unwittingly, unknowingly, he that worships without spirit and in truth is worshiping God in vain. And if he's worshiping God in vain, through this word's perversion, through whom is he worshiping God? Satan. Now, let's go a little further, because I'm bringing some new sense together in a certain way, introducing you to some of my thoughts that I want you to get. Because these come to me, and as they come to me, I take them to heart because they're Bible. And I wait and see what the Lord may possibly show me. So I'm looking at this now. We're going to go to Galatians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 19. Because we're talking about now the two churches. Satan's church and God's church. God's wife, Satan's wife, and so on. My little children, will I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you? I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, and one by bondsmaid, one by a free woman. But he who was of the bondsmaid was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born by promise. Now remember, Ishmael was born because Sarah said, I am not evidently going to have a baby, and I don't want to deprive you of a son, and God doesn't seem to be answering this word of mine, the yours he gave to you, and I tell you, just take Hagar, you'll have your son. Perverted word. Who was leading Sarah? Satan. Not God. Don't tell me if God was leading Sarah, no way, shape, and form. She even laughed in his face one time. The woman is a fall guy for the devil. Somebody has a question on that, fashioned by the devil. We'll talk about it later, not tonight. Now, which things are an allegory? That's an extended parable. So we don't just get a simile, a parable. You get something here that's, as it were, a long way off, really almost desperate-like to get your point across. But Paul speaking by the Holy Ghost, you better believe he's 100% in the clear. Which things are an allegory? For these are two covenants. Is it not true that there was a covenant for Isaac and a covenant for Ishmael? Absolutely. Was there not one for Jacob and one for Esau? Notice how the one came right down parallel, two vines, right? Okay. Which things an allegory? For these are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar, and this Hagar's Mount Sinai in Arabia, which answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children, and Israel was absolutely worshiping God through iniquity. And the traditions of the Father under the thraldom of Satan, absolutely. Hagar. The traditional, fundamental, reasonable, and reasoning from Scripture, and reasoning from the mind, and reasoning from humanity, reasoning from philosophy, because Paul mentions philosophy. All of these things, they were reasoning. So their religion now was entirely void of God. The smoking flax he quenched. The bruised reed he broke. It's over. They haven't anything till they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they're all calling on Jehovah. Some mighty wonderful things are going on as God brings them back to the restoration. They even got the red heifer. I think it could possibly be that which they're hoping to be able to start temple worship with the ashes. Looks very good. But watch. But Jerusalem, which is from above, which is the mother of us all. Now that's not a true rendition of Isaiah. And it couldn't be from what Paul is saying. It says, which is our mother. The New Testament true bride under Paul. Now let's keep reading. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so now. Yeah. What's going on with Paul? The Jews hated him. You think the denomination loved Brother Branham? They hated him. They hate us. They can't stand it. Nevertheless, what said the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, what was it that God said to Abraham? You will have a son by Sarah and nobody else and nobody else. And Sarah said, well, I think Hagar will fit in very well, because there's no use in me trying. I'm way past trying. It's okay for you, Abraham. You can still get by with it. Bring forth a son. Could have been a daughter. She sure blew up. Did she think she was God or somebody? Now, that's pretty stupid. Well, she had prophesied. You're going to bring forth a son. Now, let us go to Scripture. The son, a bastard son, cannot enter temple worship for 10 generations. Now, what is a bastard child? A bastard child, according to Scripture, is where you have the man married to the wrong woman and bringing forth a child by her. Because Abraham is the start of the covenant people. Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons, and from there on. And if any Israelite married any woman outside of being an Israelite, that was a bastard child. You follow me? So the first bastard child was Ishmael. Why? Because his mother was an Egyptian. Now, you show me any Ishmaelite or Esau that's a true Semite. This is what the Jewish religion, even though the Jews have very little today, if anything, except for the 144,000 coming. So now what I'm going to tell you tonight is this. This woman had the semen, the seed, sperm, of something genuine. And it brought forth a bastard. Now, the Bible says distinctly, Satan has synagogues. It mentions that right in the Bible, Revelation, synagogue Satan. He's got his sanctuaries, and he's got Hagar. Many more the children of the desolate than she that hath a husband. So, you're looking at a perverted word, church, that has a life in it. Now listen carefully. They grafted an orange branch into a lemon tree because it was so close, and the orange branch bore oranges living on the life of the lemon tree. Okay? You have everything living off of God and all these grafts in there. And you have Ishmael living off the life that came from Abraham, but he was a bastard. Now, you, the church today, where the two spirits are so close, you have that church anointed. It has been set aside. They are the synagogues, the sanctuaries of Satan, but they are living off the life, branches that don't belong, showing manifestation of fruit, signs, wonders, miracles, acting just like Christians, living off the life that is there. But remember, they are perverted the same as Hagar was, and they are bastard children because the life that is in those churches is not bride life, which is a truly revealed word of Almighty God. Now, remember I showed you when Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah. Some say Isaiah, one of the prophets. Who do you say? Thou art the Christ, thou art Messiah, the Son of the living God. Any Trinitarian church is living off the life of God, bearing bastard children. How then can God respect any organization? How can any organization be a part of the bride? That's why the foolish virgin are out there. But you're not going to have any bride out there. because the bride has to come out from among them. Now get the picture again. The bride started with the Ephesian church. Branches began to be grafted into it, but the life kept moving on. Finally, the little life was come down to a hub, the bride tree cut down. But it began to come back. But they still grafted in the branches. And Brother Branham said, if another branch ever comes forth, it'll be a Pentecostal branch. But listen now, when he said a Pentecostal branch, he also said Ephesus must repeat. So Pentecost is Ephesus. With God come down leading a church by his word and a prophet. With the pillar of fire, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, our elder brother, our high priest and our Savior. Now we have no truck or kin with anybody but the Ephesian church, and neither has any other bride member, because the motherhood, in other words, that which God puts his life on, bringing forth children in continuity, have to come to those that have the seed coming right on down. That may not be as clear as you want, but that's as clear as I got it from God at this time. If I get any clearer, I'll tell you. But that brings your picture. Satan leading in the worship. Satan allowing, God allowing, Satan using gifts, which are energies. Manifestation. Hey, how many people today have a rayon blouse? Rayon, anybody got a rayon? You got one rayon? Well, you're not wearing the tree, though, are you? No, you're wearing something from the tree, though. That's the way the Holy Ghost is. You can have a gift, and believe me, it came from God. You bet it did. Don't ever blaspheme. I tell you one thing, you haven't necessarily got God. Simple as ABC. So, all right, what I'm going to do, let you ask questions. Is anything not clear on this business of worship? So you can see the Pope, you can see every single church, and you can see the devil is actually where God put him in the first place, though he kicked him out of heaven. He came right down to Eden and led in the worship. And he's been doing it ever since. And when they went outside of Eden, they went for the gold and the silver and the chemicals and all the goodies. And then when God began to separate the people, what did he do? He said to Isaac, he said, these are yours. You're a pastor, like a shepherd. You're out here in nature. You're a farmer, back where it was. But the other people, he said, oh, you can have the abundance. You can have all the blessing out there. Then it came to Jacob. And Jacob got the birthright, was given from God. He had the right mother. He had the right father. Very good. He had the right genes. Esau didn't. So what happened now? When Isaac began giving the blessing. Poor old Isaac. Oh, he was in bad shape. But he thought that Jacob was Esau. So he opened his mouth. The Holy Ghost came upon him. But it was Jacob. The Holy Ghost couldn't do anything but bless Jacob the way the Holy Ghost wanted. God wanted it. Then Esau comes. So what happens? He gives him earthly blessing, all kinds of blessings. We're in Christian goods. We're rich. We don't lack a thing. We got it all. Look at our beautiful place. Look at it. That's why I say, I always wanted a nice church. Today, forget it. I wish I had a storefront. I'm not interested. Who needs a nice house? I got a nice house. Who needs a lousy, stupid thing? Cost me more headaches than God knows what. And I'm none but a drag. Who needs it? You don't need it. With food and clothing, therewith be content. And strive to please God. See? Oh, here it is. Starts soon as they left Eden. Money, money, money. Riches, riches, riches. Gold, silver, precious stones. Why, they say the Vatican cannot be evaluated. It's priceless. Let me show you how precious things are. I once had a Honus Wagner baseball card when I was a kid. I had more than one. You know what they're worth today? $500,000 minimum. Merciful God, 500,000 for a bunch of junk? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. But that's what it's worth. I heard on the radio, this fella had comic books. And he had a pile from the origin, I think, of Superman. They said, oh boy, that's worth a bundle. A bunch of comic books worth $1 million or $3-4 million. A Van Gogh worth $17 million. Where's that going to go? It's going to go up in smoke. Going to go where a van went. You're going to want to know the truth. Shame on people. Shame on the churches. Rich beyond compare. Who needed a... Well, you know, they kicked Brother Branham out. I had the same experience. You know, I was over infinity years ago. I'd go there and preach in a place, and the rats could come through the holes in the floor and stuff like that. It didn't bother me any. You know, during the day they weren't around, and I wasn't there during the night. But a Presbyterian lady came one time, and she came because she wanted healing. And so I prayed for her, and she got healed. She says, oh, thank you. Now I can go back to my own church. It's sure much prettier than yours. I don't like this dump. That was her idea. I said, well, fine. That's what's fine by me. She, poor old girl, didn't know any better. Oh, yeah, you know, back to your beautiful buildings. She wasn't as close to God as we were, though, and the devil didn't let her get any very close. Why didn't they have some healing in their church? I'm sure if old John Knox was alive, he'd have prayed for and got some results. I'm sure if Wesley was alive, he'd pray for the Methodists, he'd get results. But you see, they're gone for the gold. Once outside the government of God, once outside where God comes down to speak to us, it's gone to gold. It's all over. Materiality means everything today. They're going to sell everything out to the Pope and to the church. They talk about the International Money Fund. I got nothing against it, except I don't believe in it. There's a criticism coming to Congress right now, or the Senate, one of the two places. And they're not sure they want America to do too much about it, because they say, well, look, it's going to fall back on the taxpayer like the SNL did. And the big shot says, oh, no, it won't. We have $40 billion in gold. What can $40 billion in gold do against hundreds of billions of dollars in debts? Easy. They'll just suddenly make the gold 20, 40, 50, 60 times, 100 times more than it's worth now. And they won't charge $280 an ounce. They'll charge $10,000 an ounce. So $40 billion worth of gold at the present rate of $300, let's say, and now $10,000. Huh? That's a lot of bucks. And they want to make it $20,000, and they've got it, they'll do it. And when Rome corners it all, and she said, well, gold from now on to run the world is going to be $1 million an ounce. It'll be $1 million an ounce. And it'll run the world. Oh, yeah. Now, let's go a step further. You think for 1 minute that Castro didn't know what he was doing, he called in the Pope? Do you know that Castro was raised like Joe Stalin was in the Catholic Church? He was a bright boy. They would have made a great Jesuit priest. But you see, the very Catholic Church that brought about communism, communism has now come back to mother. And the Catholic Church is saying to you and me, come back to mother. She ain't my mother. She ain't my mother. She's communism's mother. The churches have gone communistic. As soon as the door was open, in Russia, what happened? Evangelists came in for a little while. But the same church with its Rasputins and its czars that brought Russia to its knees in destruction has taken over again and said, now, just a minute. You people can't come in anymore because we're back to Orthodoxy. We're the Greek Catholics. And you can't come in. And Mr. Yeltsin signed the bill and says, yes, that is so. So communism and the church is one.
Now, Brother Branham made a statement. And the statement is very cute. He said, if I weren't a Christian, I'd be a communist. So what's everybody going to be but you and me and us folks? Communists. Part of the crowd. I feel real good. I've exposed the devil the best I could. Poetry, yes, I'm even poetic. I like it. I love it with all my heart. Now, that's enough for tonight. I think I covered every single thing I wanted to cover. Every single thing at this point, except we go a little more tomorrow, the Lord willing. Now, let's just bow our heads in prayer for a second. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the time we spent together just talking about these things, Lord. And I must admit, Father, that I used to get very hilarious and very upbeat and very happy, even when I preached error, because there was some truth in it. But tonight, Lord, I'm very happy, and I don't believe there is error in it. I may not have expressed it too well, but I believe, Lord, we have come to answers tonight and to grips with things which show positively these things in the Word of the living God. And so, Father in heaven, I just trust now that whatever has been left out, will give us the understanding to put in together where people could understand more and better. If there's anything left out, anything, Lord, that needs correcting, we know the Word will correct it. I've depended on that, Lord, and I'm depending on it now. So that whatsoever has been said in error, if indeed there has been anything whatsoever, we will not be found in error trying to worship you in spirit and in truth, when indeed we do not have the truth. But nor perhaps we wouldn't even have the spirit then. So, but we're trusting tonight, Lord, that everything is right, and what isn't, if there should be some margin, which we have had before, come right back and correct it, even a slip of the tongue, no matter what, correct the whole thing, to know we are walking in the light, as you are in the light and are shedding that light for this hour, down upon earth here, waiting for the bride, coming to the place of perfection to bring those out of the ground, Lord, to bring them together, bring us all together for a great rapture, the great wedding supper. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the measure of health you've given us, the measure of strength. But above all, we thank you, Lord, for the great privilege of knowing your word, even as little as we know it. It's so wonderful to know that what we do know is vindicated. It is the truth, and we're striving, Lord, to make our minds truly filled with that word, expanding, therefore, the life within us until it's just a luminous, the last part that doesn't move, Lord, above the eye is that mind. Oh, God, baptize our minds, our brains, our spirit right down deep into our very being as never before, as the life floods out from this word. And then may we never be ashamed, but always strong, but full of grace, and that our moderation known of all men, and always of the word in season. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. We're going to read a little bit here in the Bible. And I like the book of Hebrews. If I can see something in the book of Hebrews that we want to look at here. All right, in the seventh chapter of the book of Hebrews, it's talking about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And in verse 23 it says, And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Now, you can stop right there, and we'll go back, some more scripture, but you can stop right there with me, and let's read that 23rd verse again. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Now, this was a legitimate priesthood in Israel. And they had a high priest every so often. And how often it was depended upon when the high priest died. And
I'm not sure how they actually elected the high priest or how he got there outside of the first one, which was Moses. And then, of course, there's Eli down the road, and then God raised up Samuel because he became the right-hand man to Eli, just like Elisha was raised up as the right-hand man to Elijah. And what we see here are people coming and going. Now, I'll ask you a question. If Satan had his church back there, and he had his high priest back there, and now he's doing more damage with the Gentiles than he's ever done, than he can do with Israel, because they're just a little tiny drop in the bucket. Can anybody think of anything that Brother Branham said that would make you to realize that the false vine also has a continuing priesthood? When one dies, another takes over. Huh? Remember the book of Revelation? Brother Branham talked about the bottomless pit. Talked about the beast which was and is not. One pope succeeding another. See, why do they need those guys? That's what he said. There's no great ones amongst us. There's no popes. There's no bishops. There's bishops in the sense of elders. But Brother Branham talking about these extravagant ways of you know, running a church. This is your Hagar bunch, your Jerusalem, which now is, which is under a law, which is a perversion. See? Okay. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now, how many times have the Catholics changed their word to a pope? Then the pope even gets so big for his britches. Well, he says, I'm infallible. And Pope Pius comes along with a funny look on his face, having seen something or heard something or thought he did. I don't know. He says, Mary is risen. She's ascended. And the bishops and every cardinal said, no, 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 that's entirely fallacious. Don't do that. We've got enough trouble now. Oh, no, he said, she's risen. So he gets up before all the people, and with that look, she's risen. Three times, risen. That's ex cathedra out of the throne. Now, the infallible pope, so Mary's up there. Like fun she is. So now you got a high priestess. Now, don't fool with the Catholics. Because, you see, now the Protestants come home to mother. So now they got a high priestess. They got Mrs. Jesus. Do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God, said the woman. She's wonderful. Blasphemy. Just filth. That's all. See, this man continueth ever having an unchangeable priesthood. Now, how can anybody then... to say they believe this message, believe the Lamb came down. You wouldn't have a high priest. You got nobody interceding. Hey, now, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. Now, just a minute. It says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. Now, he's different from these other guys who lived and died, lived and died, lived and died. This one lived and died, and lives forevermore. Now, the part of him that was eternal never died. It couldn't. That's a part of God. The body died. Now, the body rose, and there he is. For such an high priest became us, who is wholly harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. If you're made higher than the heavens, means then you've got a seat above everything that's in God's government. And that's why he's at the right hand of God. Now, if you had a table set, where would you put the guest of honor? To the left hand or right hand? To the right hand. So he's the highest honored person in heaven. Now, there's sons of God there by creation. Archangel, cherubim, many things. And those dead that got raised when Jesus rose, where are they? Don't ask me. They could be right there too. Why not? No problem. who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. Now he didn't offer up himself sins for himself because he didn't have any. Because it said he was sinless. Harmless, never harmed anybody. What about the time he beat the daylights out of those guys in the temple? Didn't harm anybody? Certainly not. He didn't harm anybody. How can you harm anybody when you're living up to the word of God? Drastic measures were needed because he was that one to take the drastic measures. You and I don't, but he did. Paul never took them. Paul apologized for any measures he took. He said, you made my father's house a den of thieves. He didn't say you made God the Son's house a den of thieves. He said, you made my father, and I'm the Son of God. Remember, he's the Son of God according to resurrection. Absolutely proven, manifested. Like Brother Branham said, if he's alive, he'll do the same things he did back there. Now, he never did anything back there. God did it. We need not daily as those high priests offer up sacrifice for his own sins and for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Now see, you're right back to the oath where God made the oath of the covenant with his own Son. Brother Branham speaks of that in different places. And that's the covenant that he came to put into effect for you and me. And he died upon Calvary. The shedding of the blood gives remission of sin. And where there is the shedding of blood of the Son of God for remission of sin, for that covenant, and we acknowledge the covenant, the blood scatters sin till there be no sin or evidence of it. How can you call a man a sinner? The blood perfects. And the next perfection is through the fivefold ministry, which is the word. Where you become perfect. For Brother Branham said, holding the Bible, when this, the Bible, pointing to his head, and this, and to his heart, become one, that's it. And there we are. There we are. So we thank the Lord for the blood tonight. When we take the emblems, we realize the body had to be broken. The crown of thorns had to pierce his brow, because they say the blood doesn't come out unless those certain veins are pierced. They pierced his side, showing he had a broken heart. The pericardium had broken. The fluid came down. Serous matter came down. Jesus Christ died that we might live, and he actually died. But God could not let that Holy One suffer corruption. Why? It shouldn't suffer corruption. There's no way. Because what was required was the blood. And when the blood was shed, that was it, because the body had done no sin. So the life now released, and the blood upon the mercy seat of the blood there atoning for sin, then the heavens can be opened, and right back to the Garden of Eden for 1,000 years, and then on. And there you'll have the gold and trample it underfoot. It'll still be God's government. See, it's not God's government to dig it out of the ground and hurt people. But it's God's government when you trample it underfoot, and it's like a transparent gold. Beautiful reflection. That's what the blood does for us tonight. So we praise the Lord for it. Let's rise at this time so we might take communion. The brethren come forward. And tomorrow morning service as usual at 10 o'clock. Now you know how we come from around the side and around the back. And we have two brethren serving the wine here and the bread at the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves to you tonight. And we pray, Lord, as we come before you, may judge our hearts and realize that only through the shed blood do we have any perfection whatsoever scattering our sin. But there is a perfection, Lord, we need to attain to. Day by day as we go look at ourselves in the Word, which is a perfect mirror reflecting us and showing ourselves, showing what we have, and yet what we further have need of, even as the bride was waiting for the revelation of the rapture. Lord, we know that day by day there is a walk, and there is a revelation, Lord, that keeps filling out the Word, keeps showing the dynamism, the beauty, the fullness of it, getting right back to the truth, O God. We're all...